Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 116. Adam Oldfield, you're running for city councilor in Ward 4. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an entrepreneur, part-time professor, radio technological advisor. In addition to all of that, I'm a family man with two daughters, married, East Hamilton located and operating several businesses. That's a nutshell of who I am and what I do.
Why are you running?
I wanted to finally put some action where my mouth was. And, you know, I'm a talker. I'm a passionate individual. I'm like many people, pound my fist against the table, sit in the armchair and go, okay, go on. Let's get some things done around here. And this was the chance, and the timing made sense for myself to step in and put my name forward to be a candidate in the community. And I mean, I've been following municipal politics, provincial, federal for years. I've been involved with it from either the background, watching either from the sidelines, having some feedback or thought. But again, a voice and a thought on the side is not action plan. The reason why municipal was that I love the city. I love Hamilton. Over 25 years, I've been in this community and actively either emceeing something, been on the radio on CHML, grew up. That was one of my first jobs, was here at 900 CHML. Taught many students in the Hamilton market at Mohawk College. And I always talked about why it's important to get involved with politics. I raised my children to know three colors. And behind that was a party that they needed to understand. I talk a lot about it. Now it's time to step up. I have a lot of people that have said, you know, there was a bet, actually, to be honest with, amongst my friends, that I said, I'm running for Ward 4 candidate and put my name in. And they all kind of pulled out their $20 bills and paid an associate. And I went, what's going on here? And they said, you know, you've been talking about it. This is actually your first time doing it. Timing was a big factor, Joey. And I wanted to be at this time, make a decision. I've been very fortunate in my businesses in the years to be able to do that. Being able to run my companies to a point that I can step back and be able to know that they can operate without me being at the helm of it for making them continue and successfully operate. I have several businesses from FPM3 Marketing, which is an agency I began here in 2003. I took over my father's business, which is a furnace and duct cleaning that's been around 40 years. That was about 3 years ago. I've got phenomenal staff that operate and run the business. Timing was right. Adam has the ability to do that, to say what I wanted to do and be able to step up and be that leader and voice at City Hall. This was the time for me to do that.
Do you live in Ward 4, yes or no?
No.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I'm going to say not necessarily, but you have to be aware of the surroundings of which that are happening within the ward. And in this case, why Ward 4? I live in Ward 3. My businesses were in Ward 4. Parkdale and Beach Road in Ottawa is where we are now. And I mean, I'm in the thick of it. I'm in the east end of Hamilton. From one street to the other, the neighborhood doesn't change. So I chose the reason for Ward 4 because I saw that there is, I mean, my business is there. I have a lot of staff that live in Ward 4. When I was contemplating my options, I saw a lot of areas that I would like to participate in. And I've been very active in Ward 3. I've worked with community cleanups. Lifesaver Park I sponsored. I actually put a solar charging station in a few years ago to create a charging opportunity for those to plug in their phones or otherwise. So, yeah, Ward 4, it seemed, was the right fit for, you know, my reasons for living in the area, working in the area, and I believe I can do a lot of good in that community.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
Okay, here comes 20 minutes of sit back and relax and listen to all the things I've done. I'll keep this kind of short and sweet, Joey. Rotary Club of Hamilton, I've been very actively involved with that. And again, it's a lunch club. I've been involved since 2004, a member since 2012, director of communication, very actively involved with a lot of programs in the inner city. And it's not just me. I don't want this to sound like, oh, I'm not the Rotary Club of Hamilton, but I feel I've contributed through communicating and spreading the word and assisting in raising funds. We just finished a literacy camp where we actually was up on the mountain, but we bused children from the lower city, from Ward 4 and 3, up to the camp. Junior Achievement, I'm very actively in bringing that back. I'm excited about that. I don't know if you can hear that in my voice. I love entrepreneurship. I love the excitement of getting into it. So junior achievement is going to be a big part of it. Park cleanups. I probably picked up a lot of trash in a lot of parks, a lot of unfortunate things. I don't want to get into detail about what I've done, but sponsored parks. I'm a program advisory committee at Mohawk College. As much as I'm also a part-time professor, I'm very actively involved with helping with advising on some of the programs that are involved with it. Dr. Bob Kemp Hospice, I was the MC for Paint the Town Red, helped support money with that program. I've been on the Ronald McDonald House board. I've been on the Salvation Army board for several years. I only have so much time in my day. So I try to give so much between each of the communities. And right now I'm with the Rotary Club. I'm going to be actively involved with Junior Achievement.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 4 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Well, one of the first priorities for Ward 4 is road safety. And it's a big concern I know across the city, but also in Ward 4 is a priority. As I was canvassing near St. Christopher's Park, I was meeting with a family, and while we were having this conversation, we actually witnessed vehicles blowing through stop signs right in the area. It has a lot of new families in the community, and that was just by standing on a simple 2 o'clock in the afternoon, listening to this concern, we were watching it in action right around that neighborhood. Whether it's on the north side, the south side, I don't believe it's isolated to any particular ward, but in Ward 4, I would be focusing my issues on that. I would also like to take into business development. The second area that I see in Ward 4 for opportunity is there's a lot of growth opportunity. We've seen Ottawa really improve in respects to development and bringing small business back to that community. I love small business. I mean, I'm probably the most passionate business gentleman you're probably going to meet. And this is an area that I'm going to be focusing, that I'd like to put my energy towards, is the Kenilworth Street. It's got now the construction in process. Once that's done, it needs beautification, but it also is going to need businesses. So you can build it, but that doesn't mean they'll come. And that's going to be one of the areas I think I'll bring a great advantage. Now, my reason for Ward 4 is that businesses bring in tax dollars, brings in employment, and that will be also a bit of a double edge for Ward 4 is the fact that we have local small businesses in the area, but we're also bringing a tax base to the city at the same time. To the bigger city, housing. I don't think that goes without saying that affordable and accessible housing is, we've talked about, is it urban sprawl? There's a lot of debate in different wards about why and how and what are we going to do about it? So when it comes to affordable housing, that's something I'd also like to put a lot of priority to. I think we've seen in my research, again, I'm looking at 2017 stats, but there was 200 empty buildings in the province of Ontario that are owned by the government. And we're paying $19 million, according to what I referred. Now, that might have changed, you know, Joey, but that's a lot of cake for the province. Now, I didn't get the stats for how many were in Hamilton, but I would probably need to spend some time on that and take advantage of where can we utilize already existing infrastructure for homes or housing, whether Ward 4 or anywhere within the city. It needs to be worked with, and I'd like to do that. At the same time, I'd like to do it as a way that is efficient so it doesn't just burn through the dollars of taxpayers, because yes, we'd love to be able to build. We could constantly do that, but it's got to be done in a way that is productive and efficient. Nobody wants to have people living in a way that they can't afford, but we also don't have the ability of people with taxes going, okay, now it's 75% taxes in the city, but look at, we've been able to afford all the homes. It doesn't work well together on that. That key thing on housing is big for me. The second is, again, this one's kind of a loaded gun, transit. And again, transit has so many facets of what does it mean? Where does it go with that? I know that the LRT, when I've been talking to some of the people in the community, it's still a sore point for whether they liked it, whether they didn't. And again, I would say it's kind of a 60-40 against versus for. But it impacts the whole community, transit as a whole for that matter. My concern, you know, looking at it as a priority is overruns. I look at what's happened in Ottawa, I look what's happened in Toronto. I just don't want that to happen in our community. And I think that goes with due governance to make sure that when we start this process, we all agree it's, and I'm picking simple numbers, not fact numbers, but $1 billion doesn't become $3 billion. And that's a lot of money. We're not talking of, oh, well, it's a $1,000 overrun. We're talking serious dollars. And that means those dollars are not being allocated to the programs such as affordable housing and social housing. It's a simple mathematical element. We don't want to be draining the pocketbooks for items of which don't make sense. I will be very cognizant of keeping an eye on that when it comes to transit, overruns with the LRT, but also the fact of what could we be doing for better transportation DARTS programs and What other, and that's just left and right. Let's talk north and south here. We have to factor in all of that when we talk about transit within the city.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 4 on Hamilton City Council?
Leadership, strategic vision, and I'll be accountable.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as, quote, confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. What principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
It is tricky because when you're talking about confidential details, and one of my platforms is transparent, and then you're signing a clause that says confidential. So much like any board, though, I'm stepping back and speaking from an outsider, Joey, is that city council's got confidential matters that should be discussed or possibly kept confidential when they're regarding human resources or legal negotiation details. Disclosing that could cause a lot of issues. And I'm speaking from my corporate background that a board of directors wouldn't go disclosing certain factors that could impact either the stock price or impact the public based on concerns and how to address it. But even still, discussions like these need a synopsis. I think there's got to be something that could be shared with the community to maintain that transparency. You can't be all closed doors and walls and say, well, just trust me, everything's good and we'll just deal with it later. I believe there's got to be deal with it, but also come up with a solution that can be shared. I think it's important for council to protect the city's best interest. That's what council is supposed to do, is protect the city and the people, but while serving and informing the community at the same time. I think there's got to be a balance, and these factors have to be considered. Until I get elected, and to speak to these terms, it's difficult, but I have to be respectful to my past as to how I understand how these confidential matters are, what is the efforts that are being made, and if they do need to be declared, then I'll probably be the first one to say, okay, well, this doesn't just get swept under the rug. This needs some governance to be able to be written, communicated, and shared, but maybe we don't, depending on the scope of what it is, and I am concerned, talking about running, what are these confidential matters? I'm just as much frustrated. I'll tell you, Sewergate just boiled my blood. The Red Hill, these are, again, reasons why I'm like, okay, someone's got to get in here and understand what the hell's going on. More so, not be reactive. Let's be proactive. Let's figure out how to find a solution for fixing the city to be better for the future.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
I believe that the process to be thorough and in depth and will support any recommendations by the inquiry. As Ward 4 councillor, I'm going to strive to push for the change of culture. You've said it yourself, and I think that goes without saying across the board. The culture at City Hall it's crap. I'm just going to be candid about that because it's evident, and I don't think there's no pussyfooting around this thing. We have a serious issue at City Hall, but staff have to be held accountable. We have to encourage people to bring forth this information, and it will bring a change to culture. I really don't know the reason behind it, but the culture is a massive concern for me. And I would say that with any company I've acquired or companies I've worked with, if you don't have a company culture, in the case of a company or a city culture, nothing's getting done. There's no way of collaborating or otherwise. So with that said, I will actively work on the recommendation on the inquiry, but going with that, this is a bigger picture and a larger scope of how does the change of the culture at City Hall alter? And that's, again, one of the reasons I want to get in as Ward 4.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
I think it's important we communicate through this construction plan with all residents, for that matter. And communicating, engaging, and informing has got to be an instrumental part of this construction process. As a councillor, I'm going to be assuring the residents of Ward 4 the information of what's going on with construction. and share in depth with all the residents of what's taking place. It's obviously important for timelines. It's important for small businesses. How does it impact? How does it impact people getting to and from their homes? One of my processes is Ward 4 Hamilton is going to be, from my history, communication's key in anything. And that's going to be one of my big focuses to lay out exactly what's going on. And that's going to be probably not a challenge, but to get community that, A, are digitally able to sign in, and those that are not. And I can't assume everyone's got digital internet and otherwise, that those that are not are able to get a written understanding or communicated piece that says, here's what's going on, here's how it's impacting your life, and here's the process it's taking. No more guessing, no more wondering, not driving, going, when does that sign come down? Or waiting for the media to find out or dig to the depth of it. I'd like to be that ward counselor that brings these answers before anyone's hunting and pecking for them.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 4 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Great question, tough question. But I'm going to stick to the one that I find is a hobby of my own, and that is cycling. And I love the trails through the Red Hill, through the King Forest Golf area. I love it because it's an active piece of my love and passion. I'd like to see myself as a Ward 4 counselor continue the path of bike cycling through the Ward 4 area. And I enjoy the community. I do the housing area when I'm riding. I like riding through the community. And that's a big passion for me. So if anyone hasn't had the chance to go through or ride through it, there you go. That's your highlight that you might want to take a peek at through Ward 4.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 4 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 4?
The question made me laugh, actually, when I read it pre. With 1952, I'm thinking, oh, what happened in 1952? And it's time for a lot of changes. And looking into it, I think one of the areas that I would be focusing on putting efforts in is inclusionary zoning. I think that's one with taking that as a priority as we talk about housing in the community and knowing in Ward 4 that there's a lot of space available. There's a lot of opportunity in the ward to allow for this. I would be probably focusing on that area in regards to how or what we'd be able to alter or update.
There are active planning applications within Ward 4 with differing views regarding if they represent appropriate intensification or not. Secondary dwelling units and the proposed redevelopment of the Delta Secondary School property are two examples of this. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
I think one of the big areas of my point is I'd be concerned about building large skyscrapers near the escarpment on the south side of King Street. I think that's one area I'll probably be concerned about on my side. I think, as I mentioned, I cycle through the ward. I enjoy the view. I think everyone does. I think people enjoy living in Ward. One of the reasons living in Ward is the view. So one area will be the building height. And I know that's a bit of a bone of contention in some degrees as, well, we need housing go up. But there's a lot of brown space. So there's going to be one area that I believe, or brownfield, I should say, in the area of Ward 4 to focus on. Affordable housing at 20% has to be, of new builds, need to be facilitated. And I'm going to say density, the ability to have multi-dwellings on that one side. As I mentioned earlier, just the inclusionary zoning and finding a way to apply that will be how and what we can do to assist in that area.
There are four LRT stops planned within Ward 4. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit areas, and how will you implement that vision?
For starter, intensification around the stations, I think, is probably the most likely with the fact of allowing for if buildings in that area we're able to accommodate. Second, types of social affordable housing in that market, using different types of housing to assist in when we have a line built, it's going to create the ability for people to get from point A to point B. In that, I believe that the density will be identified by building in those markets. Now, How do we do that and how does it get developed is, again, a challenge I don't have yet. I haven't walked in and said, okay, how do I accomplish this goal clearly? But I would be looking at it as those directions is where I would try to accommodate, and then identifying how to do that is another question based on what's already there. Infrastructure that I haven't had a chance to take a look at, full who's in that area and what needs to be identified to do that yet. I do know that through the area of the LRT, it's going to be a hot topic, definitely when whoever gets into policy or into council, that's going to be a big, big challenge. And I know that's one that I'll have to try and identify how to address.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 4. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
In my observation, Ward 4, I think we definitely need some traffic calming measures, which is missing that I've seen in other wards, including speed radar. I really love that, by the way. Speed radar, I think, is one of, probably an expensive investment, but I believe will be able to pay for itself and slow traffic down for that reason. Number two, I like implementing safety zones around seniors' residences, schools, community spaces. I mentioned St. Christopher Park. That's one area that I look at as young families are living would be priority. The next one is, and I don't hear a lot of that, is increasing police presence in traffic education and enforcing this in the community. Again, I keep seeing reaction, but I'm not seeing enough in that where how we can address this safety when it comes to road safety. I would utilize the policing if I could to put more energy towards that.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading will you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
This is a great question, and it's actually one that I ask of many people who start up a business, actually, is what are you going to do? You could have a great vision of what you want, but how are you going to accomplish that? And I would apply the same principles I've done for years, for the last 25 years, and apply the smarter people to be able to bring me either advice one way or another, whether it's right, whether it's wrong. So I have a lot of connections within the political field, and whether it's municipal, federal, provincial, right or wrong, I will probably reach out and ask some of their advice to get that some direction. As you mentioned, to be an expert, I agree. It's no one's coming in with this, and any of the candidates with a lot of, well, I was a politician at, but this is something that I will be spending a lot of my energy is, call it mentorship. And from that, I have some past municipal elected individuals that I have very close relationships with. In addition to that, I will also, as part of reading and understanding, I've done a lot of leadership courses. I've taken a lot of self-help. You know, one of my favorites is Dale Carnegie's How to Influence Friends and Win Friends, Influence Others. From that, it's going to take a lot of reading. And I do a lot of reading, by the way, Joey. In my past, I had a tech talk show, which I read pretty much everything in the technology when I do a radio project. I'll be taking the time to better understand each of those, and that includes bylaw reading. It's going to require a lot of understanding the rules. I think regulations and rules are really the key component. I've had experience as a business individual dealing with them, and as a resident in the city of Hamilton, I've had my fair share of experiencing some of those. From a lived in it, worked in it, and I'm going to be utilizing a lot of the people that have done the job to be able to bring me some of those directions or suggestions as to how I can be better at it and be the best at the end of my term.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
I like to think of it as beautification programs. I'm very passionate about that. Litter cleanup, flower islands, waste removal, graffiti really irritates me. I'm into the beautification of a city, brings an image of who we are. Second is, as I mentioned, safety, creating better streets, walkable communities, bike lanes. These are two areas of which I think the stigma of, is Hamilton a safe place to come? We want to change that. And that's going to be one of the two areas that I'd like to identify as the city of Hamilton services that can be offered. I think we can make it look better and B, make it safer.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Okay, we're going to start with culture at City Hall. Cohesive work environment is paramount. And no matter who gets voted in the next election, that should be one of the top priorities of everyone that's sitting around council. To provide exceptional service while being cost sensitive. I think if we take a look at that, it is going to be I would say the quality of vision of the city becomes easily changed and altered. If we see a culture of a positive mindset, the city will naturally react. And it goes by simple points. If your leader is negative, then so are the people underneath. If you have a positive leadership and board, then the people underneath go, it's just human nature. Next, I would find efficiencies. And boy, there are a lot of them. And find better ways to offer citizens and increase the industrial and business tax base while keeping our residential tax base at a reasonable rate. I don't think the promise of lowering tax is something that can be said anymore. What we need to do is keep it so it doesn't keep going up. And we got to do that efficiently. So how do you do that? Well, you either ask for more because services will be increasing, or we create a revenue base through taxes, through industrial and business. Those are opportunities that I think could change the quality of Hamilton.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
I'm going to say that these three words are associated in both instances. Accountable, dependable, and transparent. I think that goes for everyone at City Hall. We keep saying it, and I know it's been redundantly stated many times when you look at elections. I'm accountable, I'm dependable. In 2026, that would be a goal of mine, that not just for myself, but if I was elected in the council, I would be wanting to say, this is the three things we need them to say. If we can accomplish those three statements that are being shared with the rest of the community, it goes without saying, things will be done. The culture will be better. The city will be thriving. People will be wanting to be in this city. They already want to be in the city. We've seen that during COVID. Many people came in droves to the city. Let's increase that and let's make them, again, appreciate the city they came to, actually lived up to what the promises were stated at the beginning.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
You have a lot of options when it comes to this upcoming election. There's going to be a lot of choices. You'll be able to determine who could be your leader at City Council. I think the decision of the people is important to know that you need to have a leader at City Hall. And I, as a Ward 4 candidate, will be a great representative for the people of the ward. I will be, as I mentioned, the accountable, the dependable. I will be transparent within the means of confidential. If a lawyer shuts me up, I can't do much, but I will be as transparent as I possibly can. I don't go into something. I have never started a business to lose. And I always have a vision for the long future, not to be reactive, but to see it where it goes. I would like to see the ward and city as a whole be that opportunity for the rest of the country to look at as an example to follow. And if you vote for me, you will be making the right choice. And I will stand by you and be your voice at City Hall. And this culture will improve under my leadership.
And how do people find out more about you?
You can visit ward4hamilton.com. And pretty much everything with my platform, my information is there. Please feel free to reach out. I've been trying to respond to everyone with any questions they have. And I would look forward to seeing you when I come around the neighborhood and knock on the door and say hello.
This has been episode 116 of the Public Records The 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the press club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.